Okay, the first scripture I want to speak about this morning is, I just want to mention a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, the subject is about speaking in tongues. I want to remind you that this is a church that believes in all the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And one of the primary ones, and to some degree the easiest to flow in, is speaking in tongues. And if you haven't had that experience yet, then we would love to pray for you. It's an important thing. A lot of fundamentalists do not believe in it. They believe it was a gift that was only for a certain period of time. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We do not believe that anything passed away with the apostles, that anything was replaced in the power of God by the Bible, that we believe that the Word of God is sure from cover to cover, and the fact that the Word of God clearly teaches about the gifts of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues, one of them, the Bible says we pray with our spirit and pray with our understanding. We sing in the Spirit and sing in our understanding. So if you know how to pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues, then what is praying in your understanding? Praying in your understanding is praying in English or whatever your primary language is. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. So I want to encourage you in that, but I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 14:6. And it says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit to you, unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching?" These are the four methods that we speak and communicate to the church. We are talking about communicating to the church. And they're clearly written here, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching. When I got up there and edified a little earlier, I was speaking by revelation. I said a couple of things I'd never said before. So I was getting it by revelation. This morning, I want to talk a little bit more in the realm of knowledge. And the message this morning is called, Why Israel? Why Israel? It's amazing how ignorant so many of us are about the reality of the state of Israel. The fact that Israel is one thing that is one of the most important realities of the political world, one of the most important realities of God that he's always had. He calls Israel the apple of his eye, and we must remember these things. So Israel is a very important subject that we don't talk about very often. There's a lot of what they call replacement theology, where the people think that Israel has been replaced by the church. I absolutely, totally do not believe that. I do not believe that Israel has been replaced by the church. If it had been, the restoration of Israel would have been an absolute irrelevant reality. And there has never in the history of mankind, over the millennium of man, ever been a nation restored that was completely dispersed and completely destroyed other than the nation of Israel. It's the only one in the history of man. So that's certainly something that we must take into account before we look any further. We must understand that this nation is also one of the most vital realities. I'm talking about a country about as big as Massachusetts, maybe a little bigger. I'm certainly talking about a country that wouldn't be any bigger than Massachusetts or Connecticut combined. And so this country is one of the most vital countries in the whole world. Whenever there's our president, our vice president was over there last week while we were there. I don't know if anybody saw in the news, condemning the Israelis building 1,600 apartments and houses on what is called the West Bank. Now, here we have a political cry about a building project of 1,600 buildings. What other nation in the world would that be relevant? What other nation in the world would warrant the vice president of the most powerful country in the world to officially, on behalf of the president, condemn the building of 1,600 buildings unless that nation is the most relevant nation in the world? I love some of the T-shirts as you go through the market in Jerusalem. And the T-shirts say, "Don't worry, America, Israel is with you." And these are very important things because I do believe, and I sincerely believe this, that the scripture is clear, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So therefore, if we are not going to be people who bless Israel, if we're not going to be people who support it, and then why does God continually talk about the land of Israel from the very beginning to the very end of this book that we call the Word of God? So I want to talk to begin by, you know, kind of telling it in somewhat of a story form. And as again, maybe a little bit of knowledge, maybe I'm not quite too sure. But I want to say this, in the beginning, God created everything. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you're still stuck in evolution. I understand how young people can get stuck in their minds about evolution because you've got a scientific education. And these things are important. If you do not understand in the Genesis of God, if you don't understand the book Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it only means the beginning. And if you do not believe in the beginning, the genesis of everything that we believe, then you do not actually believe in a supernatural God. You believe in a cultural Christianity. You believe in something where we've brought God down to a definable amount where we can figure out God with this matter that keeps our ears apart. The very thought of that is ludicrous, which is why the Bible says the wisdom of this world is coming to nothing. And so we need to understand this, that over the years that so many brilliant people have tried to decry the very reality and existence of God. It's an amazing thing that how so many of us over the centuries have always followed famous Jews. Hallelujah. You know, there's been Moses. Most people have followed him. There was Abraham, the first Jew. Every religion in the world calls him their father. Of course, there's the modern Jews. Of course, we followed Jesus, the Jew. We followed Paul, the Jew, Peter, the Jew, James, the Jew, and all the other Jews. And then we come through to a modern era where we follow people like Einstein, the Jew, Marx, the Jew, Freud, the Jew. It's interesting that somewhere or the other, your whole life's philosophy is based on some Jew talking to you. Anybody listening to me? Okay, so let's pay attention to this country. Let's pay attention to the fact that there are only 15 million Jews on the planet, but they're the most relevant people group on the world. Why does the American government listen to the Jewish people? We've only got 6 million of them in this country. Maybe a little less. This government listens to the Jews more than they listen to African Americans. This country listens to the Jews more than they listen to the Hispanics. This country listens to the Jews more than they listen to anybody else. I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. This is an amazing reality. Why are these people so important? What is it about them? What is it about the mystery of Israel that somehow we've just taken and disregarded? It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe in Genesis. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in the beginning. It doesn't matter if you don't believe God created heaven and earth. And if you don't believe God created heaven and earth, then you can't believe in a God of miracles. Do you believe that one day this whole thing is going to wrap up? The Bible says the earth is going to burn up with a fervent heat. The Bible says that it's all going to wind up. It's going to come to nothing. That there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I actually believe that. I just want you to know before you ever plan on coming to this church one more time and hearing one more sermon, this preacher believes the Bible clearly teaches there's going to be a wrapping up of the age, there is going to be a burning. Jesus is going to come back to the earth and he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives in a little country called Israel. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a rapture of the church. The church is going to be taken up. There is going to be God knows what, depending how many of those lame movies you've watched. And the bottom line is this, is Israel is the most relevant point of contact on the earth. Amen. We believe in laying of hands, point of contact. We believe in baptism, point of contact. We believe in communion, point of contact. But there is no greater point of contact on the earth than this land of Israel. The land of Israel. It's the biggest point of contact there is. For 2,000 years, it didn't exist. Now it does. For 2,000 years, there was no Hebrew language. Now there is. For 2,000 years, there was no shekels used as an international currency. Now there is. It's just too amazing for me. All the other countries of the world that have suffered and died and gone and disappeared are just part of historical events. It's not the case with Israel. Israel is the most relevant nation in the world. And let me just get back to what I was going to talk about. In the beginning, God created and said, be fruitful and multiply. That command has never changed. Okay, man refused to obey. And as I said earlier, man also refused to repent. using his family as an excuse. And so therefore, once a person uses somebody else as an excuse, they cannot repent because it's not their fault. Therefore, they're not to blame. Therefore, they haven't missed the mark. Somebody else has. Therefore, they cannot repent and come into the knowledge of the truth. Repentance means you're wrong and God is right. It doesn't mean anything else. Can we get this clear? Repentance means you're wrong and God is right. That's not actually too hard to figure, but it's amazing how we struggle with it. You start talking about all kinds of subjects in the Bible and say, well, I think, well, that's because you haven't repented. And you're thinking what you think, what's keeping your ears apart, just what was keeping Marx's ears apart, Freud's ears apart, Einstein's ears apart, and whatever keeps their ears apart, if it's still keeping your ears apart, you need to repent. Do you know, that was good preaching. And it's very quiet in here. Let's face it, folks. Every time you go to college and you have to do the philosophy subject and everything else, you know, you don't break open the Bible very often to figure it out, right? You figure out one of those other Jewish books. Come on, folks. Stay with me now. Okay, man refused to obey or repent to use his own family as an excuse, and death began to manifest immediately in the form of Cain and Abel. We understand that through Adam's refusal, the whole world went into sin. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense, death reigned. Death reigned. I want to say this, that it's a very difficult thing sometimes to, this message will be very difficult culturally to get across. Can you hear what I'm saying? Culturally, this is going to be a difficult message. Because culturally, we don't understand reigning. Culturally, we don't understand that somebody else is in charge and they don't give a monkey's about your opinion. You see, when the Bible says Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he doesn't care what you think. He's right, you're wrong. You know, and I can feel some people going, you can feel it in the room, you know. Who do you think you're talking to? I know who I'm talking to. That's why I'm standing here. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? And it's until you can face the issue, look in the mirror and say, we are from the greatest nation in the world and we're wrong. And God's right. Until you can go there, I mean, I'm British. Hello? I was born in Britain. That is the top of the totem pole. We don't have totem poles in Britain. In the eyes of the British, you know, I've said this so many times and it's hard for people to grasp. There's a reason why we're no good at sport, because we don't have to win to be the best. We are the best. We don't have to show you we're better than you. We're born better than you. We all know that. Therefore, what's the conversation about? You're laughing. I mean what I'm saying. That's the way the Brits think. One day I had to face that. One day I faced that and said, I am wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. And open the doors because it's hot in here. Where's that scripture written? Nobody's moving. All right, let me delegate. No, that one's already open. Open the doors, thanks. That's my son's favorite scripture. Open the door, it's hot in here. Okay. So what happens is God was betrayed by Adam. And the whole of mankind was sold into sin. Romans 5, for if by one man's offense, death reigned. This is why the Bible says you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. This is why the scripture is true and said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why it doesn't matter how hard you try, you will never be good enough for God. You must be born again. You must be born again. Then what happened is God's judgment of sin kicked in. The flood came. Noah's escape. His family, I don't have time to go into this. His family was scattered. Most of you know his three sons were scattered around the earth. Shem, Ham. Ham was cursed. Do we know why Ham was cursed? Ham was cursed because Noah sinned and Ham revealed it. Everybody, this is a very important thing. I want you to get this. This was the first absolute, undeniable gossip in the Bible. Okay. You know, there must have been a lot of pressure on Noah. He was an idiot. Everybody in the world knew he was an idiot because he was building an ark in the middle of the desert because it was going to rain and it hadn't ever rained on the earth before. He believed in God. He realized everybody else was wrong and God was, that's not the point. Okay. So the flood came. The earth was flooded. He got off. All the stress. He'd been working for 100 years plus 40 days. He got off. They built, the first thing they did was a vineyard. The first of the grapes, they got them, wine, boom. And Noah got drunk. Do you want to know the story? Noah got drunk and was naked on his bed, and his son Ham saw him and went and told the brothers. The other two boys, not wanting to reveal their father's nakedness because love covers a multitude of sins, picked up the blanket or the skin as it would have been in them days, walked backwards and covered their father so as not to look upon him, and the gossip got cursed. And the gossip was the father of Canaan. You need to keep these things in mind. I know this is a lot of knowledge this morning. It might be good to get the whatever we do, CDs these days. 8 tracks have finished, right? Yeah. Just want to make sure I know which millennium I'm in. And from that time on, there was still no access to God. It's very important for us to grasp this, that man never had access to God. God only had access to man. And he chose who he would access with. And so then what happened is Genesis chapter 12, along comes this guy. Why? Nobody will ever know. Well, we'll know when we get up there and say, so what's with this Abraham fella? Why did you pick him? And I'm sure we won't talk to him that way, but it's just a thought. But anyway, so God picks Abram. And remember the first thing he says to Abram. Abram, what? Leave your father's house. Leave your father's house. In other words, your natural genealogy is never going to reveal to you the call of God upon your life. He said, leave your father's house and leave your father's land. So I'm going to say this. Remember, I am an American. I'm going to say this until you put the fact that you're an American second, you'll never understand the kingdom of God. Surely some of you would like to ask me some questions about that afterwards. You know, this is why Jesus said, he who does not hate mother, father, wife, children, cannot be my disciple. You know, let the dead bury their dead. All these realities is because you cannot, there is no such thing as an effective American Christian. You have to be a Christian who, thank God, lives in America. And until you get it that way round, the kingdom of God will continue to be a mystery to you. And because it will continue to be a mystery to you, you won't be able to seek it. Therefore, God's provision will be kept from you. So in other words, God doesn't provide for Americans. Woo-hoo. I'm standing over here as I'm saying that. But maybe I should be standing over here as I'm saying that. That's an Israeli flag if you don't recognize it. God does not provide for American Christians. He provides for Christians who live in America. That's good enough. You could go home on that. But I'm only 1/8 of the way through my notes. Trust me, I believe this, what I've just said, to the bottom of my existence. It's one of the core values of my theology. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Not an American, not an Englishman, not black, he's not white, he's not male, he's not female, he's not slave, he's not bond. So, leave your father's house. And then he said, to your descendants I will give this land. Just incident, but because now listen, the next thing that it says about Abraham, same chapter he's revealed to the world, he became very rich. My, what a coincidence. It's because he was now seeking the kingdom of God. Are you with me here? Okay. Let's jump a few verses. Oh, no, immediately in that same chapter, Genesis 12, God says to this little guy, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. Ouch. I'm jumping now to Genesis 17, where God promises Abraham this. Are you listening to me? It says, I will give you the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Now, what does that mean to you? Help me. I'm not an English major, and Carrie isn't here this morning. But to give somebody a land. Now, anybody who is what they call a replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel, then what are you going to do with that promise of God? It said thousands of years ago, I will give you this piece of dirt, this physical piece of dirt for an everlasting possession. Israel. Are you with me here? Now, you may think this is irrelevant. You may think I'm not going anywhere. Maybe I ain't. Maybe I'm just preaching knowledge this morning. But it isn't such a bad thing to know. Israel belongs to God. Israel belongs to the Jews. Hallelujah. All right. But after that, of course, we know what happened. Abraham bless his cotton socks. Like many of us, we begin to get in the flesh. You got a promise. I'm going to give you a son. Yeah, right. I'm nearly 100 years old. These are pre-Viagra days. We must remember these things. It's important for us to grasp these facts. And so, therefore, he now begins to think, well, it ain't going to happen with Sarah, as you promised. Therefore, I'll try something else. I'll go into the flesh, and I will produce by my flesh an enemy that will haunt us from that day till 2010 and on. And they birthed Ishmael because they got in the flesh. So therefore, Ishmael became a great nation. We know that. I'm not going to go there this morning. Now, then there was Isaac. Isaac eventually came years and years and years after the promise was given. Then most of us know the fact that he took him to Mount Moriah, which today is under the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. If you've probably seen a picture of that gold dome mosque in Jerusalem, underneath there is where Abraham lifted up the knife to kill his son. We know this is a type and shadow of God himself and Jesus his son, for God so loved the world that he sacrificed his only son so you and I could have everlasting life. Very important reality. You understand, it started with Abraham, or as they say, Bevrit Avraham Avinu, Abraham, our father. Then there was another guy, a kid, Jacob. I don't really want to talk too much about Jacob and Esau. It would take too long. But the thing with Jacob, the thing I like about Jacob is he was going to, one way or the other, get it. But I want to tell you something. He also got the promise in the flesh. Because the end of Jacob's life, do you know what the last thing he said? Well, actually, the last thing he did was prophesy of his 12 sons, pick up his feet and die. But just before that, he said to Pharaoh, he said, my days have been long and evil. Now, one of our patriarchs said, my days have been long and evil, because he jumped the promise again. Can somebody hear me? He jumped the promise. With faith and patience, you inherit the promise. So we've all got faith. We're in America, and America is a culture of faith. America is a culture of impatience. America is a culture of faith. America is a culture of impatience. So therefore, the biggest enemy of our faith in America is our impatience. That we keep doing things in the flesh and end up with an Ishmael, end up with an Esau, end up with an evil, long life. I want to encourage you about this. Patience is a massive thing. We don't even know what it is in this country. Patience doesn't exist in our culture anymore. How fast is your computer? Not how green is your valley. Hallelujah. But the good thing about Jacob is he wrestled with God. Now, last night we had a good message here last night from Bob Iannuso. Who was here? Young Bob, 23 years old, brought a great word about vessel, about the jar of clay, about digging for water and how hard it is and how it is impossible to live off somebody else's well. You young people, you cannot live off of your parents' well. You spouses, you cannot live off of your spouse's well. You have an individual well that you must dig for yourself. The Bible says, with joy we draw water from the well of salvation. And the fact that we have to understand that you are responsible for your source of life from Jesus. It's not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to teach accurately, to bring the word of the Lord as well as I know how, and God will judge me if I do it incorrectly. But it's your job, and we must understand these things. As soon as you blame someone else for anything, you are unrepentant and can't seek the kingdom of God. Is this too heavy this morning? I think it's really something that we have to face. All right, let's move on. Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob means usurper, liar, cheat, con man. I don't know what it means. Israel means prince of God. It was the first time the word Israel was given to us. The fact that now every one of us, before we were born again, were born in sin. We were usurpers, like the serpent who usurped the authority away from Adam. So we were like that. We were all Jacobs. And then, bam, Jesus wrestled with the devil. Jesus died on the cross. He became the serpent on the tree. And we all became the righteousness of God. That's a good deal. Hallelujah. So then we became Israel. Now, let me get back to Bob's message. Bob preached the message that we as a culture always lean towards. And that is the culture and the message of individualism. We cannot be an either or church. We have to be a both and church. So we have to get the strength from both sides of understanding that salvation is a total individual reality. You cannot be saved for me. You cannot be saved for your spouse, for your children, for anybody else. You can only work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you can only dig your own well and draw the water of salvation from that well for the rest of your life. However, one thing we're weak at in our cultural thinking is we don't think corporately. Culturally, we don't do it. You can think whatever way you like. Now, some of you folks born in Brooklyn, who was raised in Brooklyn? Raise your hands. I knew there'd be a bunch in this one way or the other. Every third person in America came out of Brooklyn, I think. And the other two just denied it. Didn't want to admit it. I hear such great stories of Brooklyn. The communities, how people, you know, I know even my part of London where I grew up, how the fact that, you know, anybody's parents could tell you off. Anybody ever been in that culture? You know, and if somebody up the road, because you were climbing over the fence stealing their apples, if somebody caught you and smacked you up the back of the head, there was no way you were going to tell your parents. Because you get another smack up the back of the head. Today, such a wussy culture that everybody overprotects their kids and they don't let their kids wrestle with God. Amen. I'm talking about Israel. Why Israel? I had a weird experience, and this is one of my problems, so just understand this. You ever thinking of coming back to this church one more time? We were in where were we, Masada? And I called a few people over and I said, you see these photographs here? I'll have to find them online and put them up sometime. There's a picture of the Six-Day War when they broke into Stephen's Gate and then the young paratroopers got to the Western Wall. But there was another picture of three generals. One of them was Moshe Dayan. Some of you may remember. He always had the eye patch. The other one was Yitzhak Rabin. The other man, I didn't know. But there were three generals walking in Stephen's Gate, or Lion's Gate, as it's sometimes called, in June 1967, as they liberated the old city of Jerusalem. And I said to my daughter specifically and somebody else, I said, that is one of my problems. I think like that. You see, every leader of Israel has been in the military. And every member of Israel has been in the military. Today, all the girls join the army for 2 years. 2 years. Or the men join for 3 years. And then until they're 50, they go back and serve so many weeks a year as part of their service. A lot of it's not, on the front as the men get older. But what I'm saying is try and imagine this, that your prime minister used to be a general in the army and everybody he's leading was a soldier. Now, can you understand the way they think different to us? Can you understand there's no such thing as a civilian in Israel? Now, translate it to American Christianity, we have nearly all civilian Christians and a few who volunteer to join the army. So can you see why we read the Bible wrong? Because the Bible was written to Jews, by Jews, for Jews, about Jews, from a Jewish culture, by a Jewish God, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Carried out by Jewish apostles, Jewish disciples, and they all came, and then we try and Americanize that book. And we wonder why we can't get it. It's because Americans think individually. My job, my family, my car, my career, my kids, my future. Israelis don't think that way. Now, I was interested in when you talk to young men there. I once was speaking to a young man. I said, so, you know, we were talking about several things, but one of them, I said, well, so how about the military? How's that work? He said, oh, mate, no, he didn't say that. So I've got a bit of London in me, I guess. Blooming Aussies stole it from us, but we're keeping it. He said, you know, they said, we never stop talking about it. Like, I don't want to pick on the girls or anybody else, but maybe. All right, give me a little maybe here. One of the things they talk about a lot in high school as a senior is the prom. Graduation, the prom, you know, all that. Going to college. Well, all they talk about when they're seniors is what outfit are they going to get into? I want to be a paratrooper. Yeah, I want to be special forces. Yeah, I want to be a sniper. All they do is they fight and work and train to get in the best units. Now, this is what I'm wanting. Why Israel? That's my question this morning. That's the title of my sermon. Why Israel? It's because of the way they think. We don't think that way. We were there. Chris was with me. And Cliff especially, well, we were all there. But last Friday, we were at the Western Wall. And you may know that the Western Wall, the biggest part of it is for the men and a small section for the ladies, because most of the religious stuff is done by the men. And we were down there, and there were several thousand people. Beautiful evening, a nice feeling, seeing everybody praying and davening, and it was just a nice flow as you see. And then suddenly we're standing down by the wall, and I heard this sound behind me, and I turned around, and I saw the yeshiva boys coming down. Man. It's one of the great, yeshiva is a Hebrew word for to sit. It's the Jewish Bible school, Bible schools. And there must have been, what, Chris, 150 of them? 150 of them coming down to the Western Wall. I want 10 guys come out here quick. Come on, you're too slow. And come on, Sheldon, you're Jewish, come here. Hey, don't you love... Look, he's wearing it this morning. Bless his heart. Have you ever noticed the word Jerusalem's got USA in the middle? That's pretty cool. Anyway. So here we have... Oh, come on, tight. And they're all coming down the Western Wall, about 10 abreast, about 15 or 20 deep, and they're all coming down in step, singing as they come down to the Western Wall. They're all coming down rejoicing to come down on a Friday night to prayer. And I want to tell you something. It's an amazing sight. And this is why I want to say to you folks, if you've never worshipped God in a freedom and a liberty, you're missing something. The Jews do it. The Bible says, praise his name in the dance, and they don't even know his name. We know his name, and yet we struggle to praise him. What's that all about? It's because we don't understand Israel. Amen. Thanks, guys. By the way, the black ones are called Falashans, Ethiopian Jews. They've had Jews from India, China, all around the world. Now, I want you to see this, is because as they came down, inside of me, something began to just, I don't know how to explain the feeling. I don't know how to explain a concept of what are they thinking? What are they thinking? That there's 150 of them coming down arm in arm, in step, singing psalms, coming to the Western Wall, and we can't get to church on time. You see what I'm saying? This is why I'm trying to say, try and picture these things of understanding the difference between the way this book is written and the way this book should be read, and our American culture that wonders why it's not working for us. You heard the guys here earlier say, hey, we meet prayer every morning. We do, and if you can't come, think of us while you're driving to work. That's the way Israelis think. They don't think individualistically. They think as a nation. They think together. They think as a country. They think as a chosen people. And that's why they're still around. That's why, percentage-wise, more of them have been killed than any nation in the world. More Jews have died than any nation in the history of mankind. Yet they're still the most influential country in the world. You may think we are. But if Jesus tarries, mate, they'll be around a lot longer than we will. That was a odd nod. All right, I'm obviously not going to finish this week. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I think I'm being led by the Spirit of God for us to try and grasp these things. We don't think these ways. We are such isolationists. Such isolationists. How many of you are still living an isolated life? How many of you, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, he who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages at all wise counsel. Proverbs 18:1. These are things, you know, we weren't born for isolation. We weren't born to be separated. The scripture says the Lord has put the solitary in families. And this is essential. It's an essential reality that I can't express enough because I don't know how to get it. Because I understand some of these ways that these other cultures think, our culture is doomed to failure because of the way we think. The way we float around, the way we are uncommitted, the way we're unfaithful, the way we're disloyal, like it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Because it's going to be long term. Do you know how this nation's going to fall? Divide and conquer. You know how this nation's going to fall? Anarchy. I promise you. You can write it down. What's today's date? Oh, equinox. Here we are. The whole world's turning right now. You know how hard it is for us to grasp. How fast are we moving? Really fast. That's good enough. Some scientists help me. I mean, this world is spinning, 1,000 miles an hour or something? Go figure. Why? 20,000. Is it? Yeah, we're all just like standing there. You know, once just think, we're actually moving at 1,000 miles an hour. How come I'm standing there, man? Anyway. It helps me grasp God figured some stuff out we can't figure out. That's how it helps me. No, I promise. I know it sounds like doom and gloom, but I think I'm smiling. The reality is, the way we're going, our country's done. It's done. Actually, it's amazing how many people in the rest of the world know it. And we're trying to hide it. You know the best way we hide it? By staying here. Because if we stay here, we can't go there and find out what they really know about us. Now, come on, guys. As a nation, we've always had an isolationist policy. Right? Wasn't it? Was it Wilson? Those wars over there, nothing to do with us. Right? Wasn't it? Am I First World War? Isolation. Isolation. Of course, we can afford to be. We're the we're the greatest power on the planet. But I want to tell you something. If we don't start thinking corporately, we've got to start thinking corporately. And as soon as we get broken out of the corporate, it's what the... Oh, geez. You're going to want to go home in a minute. I'm going to jump a bit. Do you know how many times Israel has been scattered? Do you know how many times Jerusalem has been destroyed? 17, I think. You know... It's gone into Egypt. It's gone to Babylon. It's been taken more than once into Babylon. It's been scattered around the world. It was persecuted by the Spanish Inquisition, the Portuguese Inquisition, the Roman Inquisition. It was thrown all around the world. These people were scattered, dispersed, were weakened. They went through pogroms. They went through all this stuff. They were killed. They went through the Holocaust. Every single method known to man to destroy the Jews. Why? Has there ever been a worldwide pursuit of the Chinese or the Africans or the English that you go and hunt them down to kill them? It's only ever been the Jews. In the history of mankind, they are living proof that God is alive. They are living proof that he wants to build a nation and bring that nation together, and that nation is going to... We were standing in Megiddo. Anybody ever heard of Megiddo? Gentry, that morning, she said, you know what? It's not relevant that we're walking where Jesus is walking. I said, yeah, that's true. It isn't relevant. You don't have to go to Israel and walk on the stones where Jesus walked, even though we did. And it's nice. You don't have to sit by the Sea of Galilee and eat St. Peter's fish with him staring at you. Knowing that Jesus walked on that water right next to you. You don't have to go to Capernaum and know for a fact that Chris and Carrie are doing devotions that morning in a synagogue that Jesus preached in. But it's real nice. But there's one reason. When we stood on Megiddo, I knew as we stood on there that the whole world is going to come to an end. And that valley, the valley of Megiddo, is going to be the battle of Armageddon. And 200 million people are going to die right there. And when I looked across it, I thought, wow, what kind of a God do we serve? We serve a God who is so huge, so massive, so dynamic, so powerful, that we've reduced him to an individual need. I don't want to sound angry. I'm not angry. We've reduced him. The Lord God of Israel, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've reduced that God to, oh, Lord, I need this and I need that. Ah! If you get my point. And if we don't start thinking as a family, as a tribe, as a nation, we are finished. Promise you. Do you think our weapons are going to help us? Do you know they just released? This is cool. They just released. There's a weapon now they got up in space. A laser that can take out missiles. Did you see that? It was in the news 2 or 3 weeks ago. Anybody see that? I thought, awesome, man. And that's what they're telling us they got. Can you imagine what they got? And we think that is going to save us. Woe unto you that trust in horses and chariots, because horses are not spirit. And all I'm saying, I got to wrap this up, because otherwise I could be here until Gentry goes out preaching this afternoon. That was a plug. You didn't appreciate that, did you? 3 o'clock, wasn't it? Was that after you were going to clean the church, did you say? Yeah. Is please don't reduce the Lord God of Israel to your little bless me club, to your little gimme, my name's Jimmy. He's the Lord God of Israel. And he picked one man, Abraham, who became the first Jew, and said, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I want my nation, the United States of America, to be blessed, because I want to think like a Jew, think like an Israeli, think like a military leader leading military people. And he is the God of our city. I'm glad we sung that this weekend. We haven't sung it in a while. And all I'm going to say is this. It's just a couple of things in closing. Since Israel became a state in 1948, it had a war in 1948, 1956, 1967, 1970, 1973, 1982, and 2006. So since I've been born, that's how many wars they've had on that soil. My question is, when is the next war? We don't think that way because we're not prepared. So let me try and wrap this up. The Bible says in the spring, that's today, at a time when kings go out to battle, David went on the roof and got into sin. You see, the main reason, I don't want to say this. Boom. God spoke to me this morning. I'm pretty sure. I know. The main reason you're having problems in your life is because you're not at war. That's why you have problems in your family. That's why you have problems in your marriage. That's why you have problems in your finance. That's why you have problems with your children. You have problems because you're not at war. You see, inactivity leads to selfishness, and selfishness leads to problems. Because when you're not thinking of yourself, trust me, you don't have problems. Now, that was a good one. So therefore, he went up on the roof, saw Bathsheba, lied, murdered, committed adultery, all those things because he was not at war. So I guess today, as the pastor of this house, I have to declare some war. First thing, we are going to go out in the streets every Saturday. We're going to meet here at 10 o'clock every Saturday morning. And that is horrifying to many of you. I would love to, but I won't, so don't panic. I would love to ask you, how many of you have individually led someone to the Lord in the last year? I know there would not be that many hands raised. And this reality is something, is because either, like somebody said this morning, you don't know what to say, or you're too afraid to open your mouth. And okay, so let's begin to teach you. Let's begin to help you. Let's begin to go out with those who are not afraid to open their mouth and know what they're saying or doing, or don't, but are willing to do it by faith because they haven't got enough sense to shut up. There is another thing that God has got, and I got an email from Pastor Andy Oms confirming this, is we must be careful of the sin of busyness. Busyness. What was it? What did it stand for, Brian? Being under Satan's yoke, the anacronym. Busy, being under Satan's yoke. Busyness. We must avoid it. Let's stop unnecessary things, unnecessary meetings, unnecessary stroking each other and kissing each other's wounds. And let's realize the best way to get healed is to attack. I might be wrong, but I'm prepared to take it. So, I want to encourage you, daily prayer. I shall be here starting Tuesday for the daily prayer. I may not make every day for some other reason. The other thing, another urgency, someone I'm enlisting, we must get the buses on the road. We must get the buses on the road. So please, everybody who wants to help get those buses on the road, one of them is, of course, a financial need. But there we are. That's what we're doing. We're praying every morning. You don't have to get here at 6. You don't have to get here at 7. You can come here and stay 5 minutes and leave on your way to work. Or, as Elio said, think of us while we're praying in the morning as you're getting on the throughway or going wherever you're going. But bear in mind that Israel is praying. Bear in mind that we're at the Western Wall together. Bear in mind that we may have different opinions, but we have one opinion that God is right and we are wrong. So, therefore, every Saturday morning we'd be here at 10 in the morning. We must get the buses on the road, daily prayer. And the other thing, if I didn't mention it, was let's please avoid busyness. Okay, so I didn't finish what I wanted to talk about. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I hope that wasn't too much. Thanks, brother, for a Sunday morning. But I think it's necessary. I want to encourage you because I really do believe. Is that mine? Yeah. I really do believe that our nation is coming into the weirdest time in the history of our country. We are going to see, I was talking to some young people recently and said to them, if you are going to make it in the future, you must become a freak of culture. I thought it was a great word. I like it. A freak of culture. We've got to stop being Americans. We've got to stop thinking like Americans and start thinking like Israelis. We've got to stop thinking like, you know, because whatever way, when wherever we were going, sometime recently about the 60s, it all began to go downhill. Somebody help me. So the reality is there any music in the house? The reality is that we need people to begin to sign up for God. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I would like us to pray. I would like all the leaders to come forward. And I would like us to begin to pray for people who want to go to war, whatever that means to you. Whatever that means to you. Right now, you may have never been to a prayer meeting in your life. Maybe you'll make a decision to go to one once a month or once a week. Or maybe you'll make a decision to go out with people on a Saturday morning, even if you don't open your mouth, but you will stand next to them and watch them open their mouth. I want to encourage you. Listen, when John was with Peter, he never said a word. It was Peter that said, look on us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And there's John going, shh, hurry up, Peter. I'm going to get to the prayer meeting. So we still don't have any music. So that's what we want to do this morning. We want to pray for people who want to go to the next place, who want to sign up for God and want to make a decision for Jesus. It's not a complicated altar call. I think most of you heard what I had to say. So please come forward and we'll begin praying for you in Jesus' name. We need the ladies too to come up and help us to pray. Praise God. Come on, folks. I know you need to come up for prayer. Don't look at me in that inactive way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just keep coming forward. Keep coming forward. Keep coming forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're not going to be a people who are complacent. We're not going to be a people who are going to look and just see that things should be this way or that way, but we're going to be a people who are going to do something about it. We thank you, Lord, for the gift that you've given each and every one of us, and Lord, we're going to go to the next place. We're going to begin to think and understand there is a battle, and it is the Lord's, and we are part of his army. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we glorify you for it. In Jesus' name.